Hi, I'm Glitterfiss, and you're listening to the Talk Wrestling Radio Network. Wrestling, entertainment, community.
Welcome, everyone, to another
fresh episode of the Hour Bomb.
Fresh?
We're right. We're live. We're fresh. We're new.
Wow. You gotta admit, we are fresh.
Wow.
Dude. I could have gone ripe.
Ripe would not be good.
I don't know when the last time either one of you had a shower, so ripe could have worked.
Hey, I had a shower this morning. I had to work today.
Or so you say. Anyway, so what's up, fellas? That was one hell of a pay-per-view.
Yeah. It was actually pretty good. Can't complain in the slightest.
So, actually, I
can't complain about several things. But overall, I enjoyed the pay-per-view.
It was pretty good.
Yeah, I liked it.
So we just want to welcome everyone to a live edition of the Hour Bomb. No time limit Hour Bomb, actually.
Yeah. We're throwing the time limit out the window tonight, just declaring me and old Sweet Heat the winner here.
Not going to go that far with it at all, fellas. So let's go ahead and get into our normal routine here. I am your host, the illustrious Jason Howard, joined as always by my partners in crime.
The big bad booty daddy!
That's right, the big A, Adrian Masters here.
And the jizz mopper.
Sweet Heat, Jason Heath.
Jizz mopper.
I am not the jizz mopper.
That's debatable.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's definitely debatable. What do you mean?
What do you mean?
What do I mean? You know what I mean. Anyway.
Who's on first?
What?
Exactly.
Huh?
Third base. Anyway, so here's how this show works for those of you that haven't listened to it, because I'm sure there's a handful of you guys that have never heard it. I've got no time limit tonight. Sorry, I'm getting into the normal routine. Anyway, normally I've got an hour to get through a whole list of shit. These two assholes try to get me off on my tangents. We're not going to do that tonight. We're just going to talk Money in the Bank, and we're going to do our normal stuff.
Exactly.
How's that sound?
Pretty good. Let's just do this.
All right, you guys. How you guys doing? You guys want to talk about anything before we get started?
Well, I got this rash.
Oh, God. Never mind. No. We're going to not start the timer yet. So, fellas.
Yeah.
Let's jump into some Money in the Bank. Check this out. You guys will like this. I will have to agree with you, Adrian. I believe this is the most listeners we've ever had.
Getting kind of funky here tonight. Yeah.
Hey, go ahead and pull up the list. Let's see who's on. Let's give them a shout out for those.
Let's give a roll call real quick.
Hey,
we're going to rip it up. 8 anonymous users. If you're not signed into the chat, tough shit. You lose. We've got the First Lady of TWR Network, Glitterfist. We've got Tomfoolery. We got the Big Douche, the Big A. And we got Other Mark and Necromancer. Grumpy, number one fan, number two fan of the Hour Bomb.
Oh, what?
And Simi Zion.
Zima Ion. Something like that. I don't know how the hell to pronounce it.
Simi Zion? Simi Zion?
We'll call him Fred. We'll call him Fred.
Maybe that's Anal Rape Jerry's login.
It could be Anal Rape Jerry. Anyway, so let's talk some Money in the Bank, fellas. Yeah. How about that? Oh, God, there's the Glitterfist link.
And the link start early.
I'm scared.
Yeah.
It's taking a while.
I'll let that one
Glitterfist, I got the sound effects loaded, so be prepared. If it's bad, you're getting the horn. Anyway, so we had a pay-per-view tonight. Money in the Bank.
Yes.
And I'm actually rather impressed with this pay-per-view. I didn't despise it like I did Payback.
I've got mixed feelings on it. The pay-per-view started strong for me and then went downhill. As it got to the end, I liked things less and less.
Well, it's kind of like you when you're in the bedroom with your girlfriend. Starts out good, but then the more it goes, things get less and less for her.
Oh, now that ain't right.
Wow.
Sorry. It's I gotta pick on Heath.
Am I wearing a Sweet Heath name tag over here?
I think so. Sorry. Hey, my apologies. Anyway. So yeah, I was actually we're gonna talk a little about the build up for this pay per view. I thought it was pretty good. A week ahead of time, we were able to do our pre show. We actually knew what was going on, and it was a good, you know, it was a good time. We had I think every match announced a week ahead of time.
Yeah, everything was built up and like booked before this week's Raw.
It was impressive. I can't believe they did it. Unlike Payback, where we had three matches and everything was booked that Monday night.
But Payback was still a decent pay-per-view, but I mean,
it was not WrestleMania 9 bad.
Payback was better than this year's WrestleMania.
It wasn't as bad as December to Dismember.
It was better than this year's WrestleMania.
No, absolutely not.
Yes, it was.
No, absolutely not. Anyway, so we had the pre-show match.
Yes.
Yes, Shield defended against the Usos.
Answer me this question.
Okay.
Sierra Hotel. India. Echo. Lima. Delta. Shield.
Why was this on the pre-show? Can someone answer me why this was on the pre-show?
Because The Miz got tired of being on the pre-show, so he felt that spot should go to someone else.
It went to the Shield, our tag team champions.
They successfully defended Usos. Against the Usos. Who didn't? I think Stevie Wonder saw that one coming.
Yeah, I don't think anyone didn't see the Shield winning this match.
Hey, Shane, TWR is in the chat. Hey, what's up? So anyway, I'm going back to what I said on the pre-show. They weren't a big threat. It was a good match. Not a big enough threat for the tag title, so I'm not really sure why they were defending against them to begin with. Goddamn, Glitterfist, what the hell is this? It's still loading. Maybe your computer froze up. I don't know. But I mean, you weren't able to see the match. You were stuck at work. I get it. But yes. I mean, for the most part, we covered a little bit of it while we were doing the pre-show. I thought it was a damn good match, actually. But
yeah,
just,
the crazy spot with the powerbomb backdrop superplex all at the same time.
Oh god, that was insane! I got to show you the highlight of that. That was insane.
Believe it or not, I was actually able to listen to you guys while driving back home from work. So I got to listen to you guys on TuneIn.
TuneIn Radio.
Yes.
So, like I said, good match. I just didn't get it. I'll appreciate it for its good match.
But why did it have to be pre-show? That's
there's
the big
three
question.
Other matches I could see that could have been a pre-show match.
Namely, Miz versus Curtis Axel.
Could have been a pre-show match. Ryback against Jericho. Could have been a pre-show match. The Divas match. Could have been a pre-show match.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, do you think the Divas match was worthy enough to be on the paper? As good as that tag team match was, you think that the Divas match was better than the tag team match?
No, but I think that the Curtis Axel Miz match or the Ryback Jericho match would have been better matches to be on.
You're correct, but they're building Ryback's supposed to be a beast, and they're building Curtis Axel, so they can't put. I don't know.
But I mean, anyway, I mean that pre-show match started things out on a good, solid note. Good tag team wrestling match. Went longer than I expected it to, but I mean, I can't complain about it at all.
Yeah, not too many complaints I have about that match. And you didn't see it, so it doesn't matter. All right. Shield retains. So then we get into the actual card.
And we start things off with the SmackDown Money in the Bank match.
Now, we saw during the WWE pre-show that the SmackDown, or the World Heavyweight title briefcase was hanging first. So I'm like, oh, they're just going to have that match before the All-Star one. That's all. Didn't expect it to be the first match on the card.
Yeah.
World Heavyweight title gets no respect.
Actually, that's typically, the last couple years, though, that's been like the kickoff match.
It has. You are right. Almost, man,
And it gets the crowd fired up.
Don't want to say this,
that match
but
was probably the best match of the night.
I was going to say, usually the World Heavyweight title / SmackDown Money in the Bank ladder match is usually better than the Raw one.
And that was probably true again.
I think it was.
I could agree with that.
All right, so, yes. Not too bad at all. There was some insane spots in that match, actually.
From the,
Oh, God.
Oh.
Wow, is that... That's a nice picture of Randy Orton.
That's, Randy with an I, Orton, my there.
Glitterfist, those pictures have invaded my nightmares now.
Yes. Oh, by the way, let's see. For the record, we all picked the Usos to lose.
Yes, that is correct. Okay.
So, anyway... good match. I was actually shocked to see Cody Rhodes be over as much as he was.
Yeah.
The crowd got behind
him. The crowd really did get behind Cody. I said going into this match, and I didn't think it was going to come true, I thought Sandow was going to win. It was just a gut feeling.
I wasn't sure exactly who was going to come away with this match. There was a bunch of guys that could have gotten it, a bunch of guys that needed it, and one guy that got it.
Hallelujah.
And Sandow is your World Heavyweight Championship Mr. Money in the Bank.
He is. Screws over his best friend, Cody Rhodes.
That was kind of funny, actually. Who? I mean, honestly, we knew that was going to happen.
I saw that coming. I mean, once...
Hey, what? Adrian and I, we guessed it. You're welcome.
I had no clue who was coming away with this match, to be honest with you. I had no clue. You, Adrian guessed it. You just followed suit because you had nothing better to do.
No?
You had no clue to pick in this match. Don't lie.
Oh, please.
I mean, I like the thing. I saw the Shield interference coming in that match.
And for a split that second.
I thought that was going to work.
I thought it was going to happen. I'm like, holy shit, here we go.
When I saw them like knock out everybody in the match except for Damian Sandow, and he hadn't seen Sandow in the ring for about 5 or 6 minutes at that point. Whenever it was like, oh, Cody's got this. And I'm like, no, he doesn't, because Sandow's going to knock him off the ladder. And then sure enough.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, if you got any questions or comments, make sure to post them in the chat, and we'll get to them. We'll try to, at least.
Yes.
And click on Glitterfist links at your own risk.
Yes.
Like we're doing right now. Oh, God.
Oh.
Wow.
Oh. Things that cannot be unseen.
Oh, I think Heath got a little turned on by the Christian one.
Oh. Is that Lance Storm?
I think it is.
Ew.
Oh, God. Glitterfist. No. No. Anyway, so SmackDown Money in the Bank gets the crowd fired up. Good match. And I think I'll agree with you, Adrian. I think it was probably match of the night.
It was match of the night. The stuff with Ambrose and Team We the People.
That was pretty good.
With him flipping up around the ladder and then them throwing the ladder out of the ring. The Cody, like, just destruction of everybody was awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really good. And then the turn by Sandow on Cody Rhodes also just
so
nailed it.
Hey, click on that link by Necromancer.
Oh, dear.
No, he's. I don't think it's Glitterfist bad. I could be wrong.
Well,
it's loading. Loading. What in the hell?
Is
Heath, did they find a picture of your blind date? I don't know. It's loading. We'll come back to that in a second. Anyway, so that cow got me off my train of thought here. I don't remember where I was going with this.
I don't know where you're going either.
Oh, so it's Cody Rhodes. Do you think, has he made maybe a slight feast turn?
It kind of looked that way.
I don't. Oh God! There's another link. My Glitterfist. Oh, when are we? Damian Sandow looking at you with the bedroom eyes, looking
Damian Sextow there.
Oh, looking at Sweet Heath. Hey, baby, why don't you come on over?
Why anyway, do I put up with these guys?
Because God. My wife feeds us before the show.
Yes, that is true.
Okay,
your wife cooks very well.
So Cody Rhodes. Do you think they're going to look at this and be like, you know, he was kind of over. Maybe we should make him a face.
Possibly.
Do you think he could go? I mean, he was, out of all those guys, out of all the heels, he was over. Am I wrong?
No, not at all.
I think he was probably the most over guy in the, what the fuck? Is that Brock Lesnar kissing Kurt Angle?
It looks like it,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, God. I couldn't tell if it was that or Michael Classic and Jason Massey kissing. I couldn't tell. Anyway, I know we're just going to have to kind of wait and see. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with these two guys on Raw tomorrow night.
Yes, definitely.
So,
because it's like, okay, you have these two guys, you know, Sandow and Rhodes, very good friends, and Sandow screws over his good friend.
There's been tension building between these two for a while now. Mm-hmm. So, is it a big surprise that this happened?
Not really. Again, it just added to it and made this match one of the best matches of the night.
I would have to agree. All right, and why? Adrian. All right, for those of you that, since no one can see how we got this set up in the studio, we've got my 22-inch monitor hooked up to Adrian's computer, and he's running the chat and everything right now, and we're begging him not to click on links anymore. It's just, what the fuck? That one was good. Necromancer, that one was good.
Nice.
Anyway, so we're going to move on, because we're going to be here for hours if we just talk about these.
I know.
The next match, if I do remember, was the
Intercontinental title match. The Miz versus Curtis Axel. What?
I'm sorry, I fell asleep. Curtis Axel, what?
Wow, this music, this theme of this is terrible. Yeah. But anyway.
Much like Curtis Axel himself, the theme is also terrible.
I lobbed you that softball on that one. So the Miz against Curtis Axel, it was about as good as I expected, honestly. I hate to say this. He's not doing it for me. I thought maybe, I was giving him the benefit of the doubt, and I thought maybe tonight's match would do something for me.
I think the
nostalgia of him being Kurt Hennig's son has worn off, and I think I'm...
I did like him doing the running on the title match, so, I mean, and I liked him getting laid out by Punk.
That was fun, but I think it's over for me. I can't do it anymore. I'm not going to lie, the last week and a half or so, I've been forcing myself to be like, yay, Curtis Axel!
Well...
Now you're just getting me points.
Pretty much. Well, that's why I got most of the guys on my team. But whatever. I just... don't worry, Glitterfist, I do too.
You won't ever hear it again.
I know you probably will, but...
No, I promise. You'll never hear it again. Really?
Made a liar out of you. Anyway, it was subpar for The Miz, and it was probably one of the best matches Curtis Axel will ever have because it was against The Miz.
Right.
Even? What do you think, about even?
The Miz has been bland for me for a while, and...
God, make him a heel again.
He works so much better as a heel, because a good guy douchebag just doesn't seem to work as well as a bad guy douchebag.
It's hard to boo a good guy douchebag.
That is very true.
But it's really easy to boo a bad guy. So anyway, the gist of this one, Curtis Axel wins the match.
Yay.
Whoop-de-doo. Alright, on to the next one. Hopefully this will be the end of this. I'm not sure, though. AJ Lee versus Caitlin.
Again, with your hatred of this for no reason whatsoever.
It's long and drawn out, man. Ooh, hello.
Wow.
Damn.
Necromancer.
You know
good
what?
Good picture.
Yes.
You have a vagina! You have a vagina!
And she does. And she...
Oh.
Can we click on the Caitlin one again to make it less gay down here?
Nope. That's for playing the Curtis Axel thing and making me a liar, douche. Thanks, Glitterfist.
Glitterfist, come on. Stop. She's just jealous because I beat her in the prediction. Like, that's okay. Glitterfist, you went down. Wait.
I watched what you say there.
I'll stop there. She is in bed. Anyway. It's too drawn out. It took forever, and it has never really been there. The whole secret admirer thing, it killed it for me.
Although I gotta say, nice hit by Caitlin on good old B.
Oh, the slap on him?
Yeah.
That was
a recap of SmackDown, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was a SmackDown recap. But to keep up on things.
Yeah.
I'm freaking tired.
You know what? So are we.
Yes. Well, we kind of did volunteer him for this job.
We did.
Yes. We didn't give him really an option. We just said, hey, we're doing the Money in the Bank post show. And he's like, okay. Anyway. So it was a solid Divas match, I guess.
AJ gets the win with the, the Widow's Bite?
The Black Widow.
Is the Black Widow okay?
Yeah. I think that's what it's called. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Props to Caitlin for trying to push through it, but...
God,
The way I see it, if Jason Heath can use the excuse, I'm tired, so can I.
Yeah. Overall, though, I mean, I gotta say, man, a good Divas match for, you know, a WWE Divas match.
It's not a knockouts match.
No.
Jesus Christ, did you see the picture of Taryn's legs that was posted on Lords of Pain a few days ago from their knockouts match?
Yeah, those look rough.
Heath on Impact this past week?
Yeah.
A knockouts ladder match.
Hey, let's not lose listeners.
Wait a minute,
here,
ladder,
right?
Match?
Yeah, knockouts. Women's. When was the last time?
So let's stay on topic here, because we really don't want to lose listeners talking about TNA.
No, we lose them talking about Ring of Honor.
Oh.
Or at least that's what Shooting from the Hip does. I don't know. We don't ever watch. I can't remember the last time I watched anything Ring of Honor. Anywho, it was your typical Divas match, really. I don't know where they're going with it.
Better than the Intercontinental title match.
I don't. It was better looking, at least.
It was better.
It was better looking.
Then it's also better.
I don't know. I don't know. I would. I don't know. If, what do you guys think? Better or not? Give us your input here.
Oh, wow. I don't think that's a real necromancer. I could be wrong.
Oh, God. I don't even know what to say on that one. Anyway, so...
Does the collector's edition come with a pillow this month? Never mind.
Oh. It...
Did we just hit bottom?
I get. God, if they haven't pulled the plug on us by now, I'm shocked. I just really am. Anyway, so your typical Divas match. You say it was better than the Intercontinental title match. I say it was better looking, but I don't think it was better. I think we're going to agree to disagree here, unless anyone in the chat has anything else they want to say about it.
As far as between the two of you guys, I got to go with better looking.
Yes.
Definitely.
That's what I thought. Yeah, go post it in there. See what they say. So we got the delay. Are you going to ever change your little avatar thing?
No, I'm not until I find something better.
Necromancer says that the collector's edition of WWE 2K14 is going to come with a pillow and a Bible.
Well, that makes sense.
You know, it's always funny because we're about 20 seconds ahead from what they hear.
Okay.
So every 20 seconds we go back to what we were just talking about 20 seconds ago.
Gotcha.
And we can, yeah.
Okay.
That's why there's such a lag between we ask them something and, you know. Anyway, are we done talking about that? Where are they going to go with this? What do you, I mean, is
I think
it done?
It's time to move on because I think we saw signs this was going to move on to something else in another match. We'll
yes.
get to that here in a moment.
Really?
Yeah,
we did?
Yeah.
Okay. You think is Dolph Ziggler going to challenge for the Divas title?
No, but I think you're going to have to see AJ move on to something else because she's not going to be dealing with Caitlyn anymore.
Yeah, probably. But who is... I mean, the only other person I can think of that's ready is Layla again?
I don't know.
They've got, like, four Divas. They've got...
The Bellas?
Well, I think the Big Boo Bella's hurt. And... It doesn't really make much sense. They can't do twin magic anymore because the referee's like, wait, you've got the bigger tits. It's not the same.
Yeah.
But you've got Alicia Fox, who, why is she still there? You've got Oksana, why is she still there? The only person, you've got Layla, unless they're bringing someone in, but.
I don't know who don't at know. This point.
Necromancer finds the delay funnier. I know it's going to have to be one of those. We're going to have to wait and see things on Raw. Let's see how things play out on Raw. Necromancer says the Divas match was much better. I don't agree with that.
Well,
better looking.
Waiting for anyone else to respond on that as well. But I mean, it's just I don't know. I don't really know what else to say about this one right now. We'll just have to see Raw and see where it goes from here.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what they're doing with it. So then, up next, we've got Chris Jericho against Ryback.
And Ryback finally rules on a pay-per-view.
First win in how long?
Ever.
Feed me.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was his first pay-per-view win.
He's never won a pay-per-view match until that day.
Oh, God.
Feed me.
What in the blue hell?
Wow.
If Damien Sandow had long hair.
Anyway, so yes, Ryback finally wins his first pay-per-view match. And it was a cheap win by Ryback.
It wasn't a strong finish at all.
It wasn't a strong finish, but I mean, he still got a clean win.
I mean, that's...
Well, it doesn't make him look good, though.
It doesn't make him look bad, either.
I think this makes him look worse than if he just would have gotten a living piss beat out of him by, like, seven guys. How does him barely beating Jericho like that with a cheap win make him look better than getting his ass beat and losing the match by, you know, getting jumped by half the locker room and then losing the match or something like that?
Because one of them is a win and another of them is a loss. Apparently Shane says that Ryback did beat jobbers on a pay-per-view last year.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Wow, jobbers. Whoa.
But anyway, it was... I'm not going to lie. This was one of my... I took a break during this match. I went outside and had a cigarette. So... What? Why do we...
What? Color splat fruit roll-ups? What?
I don't know. Anyway, I lost my train... Oh, yeah, I went outside and smoked during this match, so I didn't catch all of it. So, you guys take it away for a minute.
Ryback rolled up Jericho and got the win.
Well, no, I was there for that. What did I miss? The first 8 minutes of the match or whatever.
There was some action that went back and forth.
Yeah, it was mostly Jericho.
Jericho had a lot of offense. Ryback hit a couple of big power moves, though. Ryback did a nice lift up off the ground power bomb, which was kind of cool. But other than that, I mean, it wasn't anything special.
A typical match? Like, it wasn't great at all?
It felt more of like a regular show match.
Heath was a better than Intercontinental title match.
Intercontinental title match was better.
So this was probably the one that should have been on the pre-show.
Most likely, yeah.
Oh, God. Now I... Oh, come... Really? Oh, God.
What?
You rolled him up. I agree with you, facepalm. That's just terrible. Anyway. What are they going to do with Ryback now?
Jericho did make Ryback look watchable. That is true. I won't argue with that either.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think one of us could probably get in the ring with Jericho and it could make us look watchable.
Well... Maybe, that's true. I don't know about that.
That's probably why they went ahead and booked him against Jericho. It was because they had to make him look decent. Because Lord only knows, you had matches against four-move Cena. So you had to do something to make him look decent again.
No, that would be Jericho, yeah.
And I mean, Jericho, he's been around. So
this match was okay. It wasn't anything spectacular, but it was okay.
Shane thinks that this match was better than the Intercontinental title match.
I would say it's about on the same level. It was a little bit better to my eyes, too. It wasn't much better, but it was a little bit better.
I left when the match just started and came in about 2 minutes before it ended. So I have no opinion on this one. I don't care either way. What are they going to do with Ryback? So he finally wins a match. So he loses a shit ton of matches on pay-per-view, and he gets to make his own rules, and he's the number one contender for the championship. So is he going to be the COO of the company after this, after he finally won a match?
I don't think it's going to go that far. That's ridiculous.
It's called a joke, you dickheads. Why are we... Okay, we gotta... Oh!
DDT.
Yeah. Yes. And let's watch it one more time before we... And, DDT. Boom. Oh, shit. Anyway.
Yeah.
I think if you look hard enough, you can see Ryback shit himself. Anywho. What are they going to do with him?
I don't know.
What kind of bullshit match are they going to...
I do think that the pairing with Vicky Guerrero is probably still coming. I don't know where it's going to go from there yet, though.
Do you think Curtis Axel and Ryback are... of the same mold? Do you think they both need a mouthpiece because they can't talk for themselves, really? Why? Out in front of someone. Now, when Ryback did that one promo that was pre-recorded on Raw, right after, I think that week that he shell-shocked Cena right after WrestleMania, mm-hmm. that pre-recorded thing, that was good. But out in the ring, it all sounds forced. It sounds same thing with him and Curtis Axel.
Because with pre-recorded with Ryback, you can take the time. You can correct things that didn't seem right to him.
Oh. I like that cover.
No, hold on a minute, please.
The tag team match edition.
Wow.
Holla, holla, playa. Wow. Yes, Necromancer, I believe that's going to be the collector's edition, the tag team edition. Yes. Every match has to be a tag team match.
Yes, all right.
Or it fries your Xbox.
Yes. Every match starts out as a singles match and becomes a tag team match when people interfere.
Yes, that's how that edition will work.
Holla, holla, tag team match.
But yes, I do agree, Ryback, he does need a mouthpiece. And if him hugging Vicky could be the setup, yeah.
Vicky Guerrero in the booth tonight, the post-show booth, pre-show booth.
I thought she'd okay.
See, we talked about this a little bit off-air. I kind of like when they put these guys in the booth like that. It gives them it takes them out of, I'm the big show, I've got an ironclad contract, and kind of makes them more Paul White. And it made Vicky seem less like annoying-ass bitch and more like,
excuse me!
More like a normal person. You know?
Yes, exactly.
I kind of like that. But however, they did kind of goad Vicky a little bit with her tribute thing. And I think Brad Maddox was rubbing the salt in the wound. That was funny. Dan Phillips finally got his wish, by the way.
Yes.
Brad Maddox is the Raw General Manager.
I'm sure there's somewhere Dan is like, ha ha ha.
Really?
Yeah, really.
You're a dick.
Dude.
The views of Adrian Masters do not necessarily represent those of the Hour Bomb or the TWR Network. Anyway.
You got a hold of the Make-A-Wish Foundation. What do you want?
Oh, my God.
Wow. And look at the listeners plummet. Hey, we've only lost 3 since we've been on the air. We're doing pretty good.
Seriously?
What?
What in the world?
The GTG edition.
Watch out. You buy that one, you'll end up missing your wallet.
And the commentator edition.
Wow, it's kind of like, remember that old game they had, NFL head coach?
Oh,
We played that. That's kind of how that is. The only thing you do is you call matches. That's all you do.
You get JR, you get 2 things. You can say, by God, and oh my God.
And slobber knocker.
And slobber knocker.
And it's kind of like when you do, when you sing along to Rock Band or something, and you got to hit the notes and the right. Mm-hmm. It's the same type of thing. Oh, God. David. How the hell we're losing this thing? Anyway, so I think we're going to move on from this one unless you guys have anything else to say.
Not really.
What about you guys in Chatland? You have anything to say? We'll wait 20 seconds. No, we're not going to wait 20 seconds. But if there's something you want us to talk about this one, come back and we'll come back to it.
Yes, please.
All right. So the next match on the card was the World Heavyweight Title Match. Dolph Ziggler challenging Alberto Del Rio.
It was a solid match between the two. There wasn't a lot of... it was a lot of back-and-forth action, but nothing really surprising.
Well, no, I
take until the AJ came out.
Now, the whole... It was a good match. Of course, Dolph Ziggler was in it. So, I'm okay with the match up until when AJ came out.
Yes.
None of us were 100% sure about what was going to happen to this match. I think I had it as one of my lowest ranked ones on the prediction league. Adrian, I think you did too.
Yeah, because I wasn't really sure who was going to win.
And I think you fucked up and you had it worth 7 points or something.
Right. I mean,
you really thought Ziggler was going to win it back.
Yeah, I really thought they were going to have it handed off to Ziggler on this one. As far as his win. But then when AJ came out, it's like, oh, fuck. Are you serious?
What was that? What, the pay-per-view was average?
Yes.
You're dumb. Fuck you. Anyway. AJ comes out, and we're not sure. We're like, okay, she's going to screw Ziggler somehow. Wasn't sure how she was going to do it until she jumped in the ring with the belt, with her belt, and then hit Del Rio.
Causing Ziggler to get disqualified.
And then your winner and still champion, Alberto
Del Rio. Yes.
You must make some guy real happy when you roll your tongue, because I can't do it.
I imagine he does.
D- Does he like it when you roll your R's?
Does Roberto like that?
Chirp, chirp. Chirp, chirp.
No, we got the Oreos music going. It's okay. It's better than whatever comeback you had. Anyway, so we had a non-finish, I guess you will.
Yeah.
They're not quite done with this?
Like they're breaking up Team Ziggly.
Zigglypuff.
Well, here's the thing. AJ and Big E right now are heels.
Yes.
And Dolph is a face. Generally, they don't get along with each other.
AJ's a heel. Dolph is a face.
Big E, I'm not really sure. Right
Big
now,
E's
he's
like on the fence. He could go either way.
He's siding with it. Oh god, the steroid edition. Well, The Rock is on the cover of WWE 2K14.
Yep,
that's a legitimate cover. Let's go ahead and do that. Use that one.
All right.
Anyway, we knew it was a matter of time before they did something. We just weren't sure what they were going to do, how they were going to break them up.
Yeah, who knew it was going to happen this way? It's like, just caused Ziggler to not get the title.
I had a feeling he was going to get screwed tonight.
Yes. I had a feeling,
in one
too,
way, shape, or form.
I was hoping not.
I had a feeling he was going to get screwed, but my gut was telling me he was going to, someone was cashing in on him tonight.
Right.
But I wasn't expecting this. I mean... They have good matches. Him and Ziggler and Del Rio have decent matches. Have pretty good matches. So I can understand wanting to draw this out a little bit more. Maybe the blow off is going to be at SummerSlam.
I think you may be right.
Either that or tomorrow night on Raw, Del Rio's getting screwed again. That would be hilarious if Del Rio gets screwed again by the briefcase.
Yeah, that would be kind of
second
funny.
Second time in 3 months and he gets fucked by
I don't think Sandow's going to cash in right away, though.
If anyone... He's going to cherry pick his spot. It's just going to be one of those. Whoever the world heavyweight title is just going to get the living piss beat out of him, and then and just like every other Money in the Bank winner has done, except for two.
Pretty much, that's about the way I see it. I thought it was an all right match. I mean, the match was overall, the finish took away a lot of this match though for me. I hate like DQ finishes and title matches and stuff like that. I hate them at pay per views. I'm okay with them on Raw and stuff like that, but.
I don't get them at a pay per view.
No,
that's just wrong.
The no steroids edition.
Oh, no steroids. Okay, I didn't see the no.
Yeah, that was the legend edition.
Good night, Glitterfist. We love you. She's going to bed. It's like 5 a.m. there.
Oh, good night, Glitterfist.
Oh yeah. Yeah, they're like
night, Glitterfist.
She's across the pond, so yes. She's like 6 hours ahead of us.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, I don't. God, it. So we had a last man standing match at Extreme Rules that ended in a no finish. And then we have this one that ended in a cheap finish. Then at Payback, you had Ryback get thrown through the top of an ambulance, which was bullshit. Really?
Yeah. Didn't care for this match. I didn't care for the way the match ended. I liked the match overall. There's not a whole lot more I really have to say about this one.
Yeah, I think we're pretty well done on this one.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to move on. Now, this one caught me for a loop because I assumed we were going to have the All-Star Money in the Bank ladder match next. Well, we were wrong.
Yes, we were.
John Cena, Mark Henry. John Cena, WWE champ, not headlining the show. However, when Punk was WWE champion, he never headlined the show, but it always seemed like Cena did when he wasn't the champion. Good thinking, guys. Anyway, what the fuck edition? All right, let's let this guy...
Oh.
Wow.
How'd they get a picture of you wearing that, Heath?
Okay, there is a difference. Sweet Heath versus Sweet Tea.
Yeah, we like Sweet Tea.
Burn.
And by that I mean the kind we're drinking right now. Anyway, so good. I think it was a good match because we weren't sure what was going to happen.
It was
because traditionally, like we brought up during the pre-show, Money in the Bank does not fare very well for Cena, except for that 1 year when he won it. Other than that, he's always kind of been fucked.
Yeah. The match I thought was all right. I'm tired of, you know, I'm putting John Cena 2013 for me is like 2003, 2004 Triple H for me.
Just overused.
And you're sick of them. Sick of the, I'm going to job out on every match between the pay-per-views, but pay-per-views, whoever I'm fighting, no chance of winning.
All right.
I
see the similarities. I really, because I think 2003, 2004, Triple H, I was just fucking sick and tired of him.
I remember that.
Yeah, we couldn't stand him. Because that's how, and he, no matter what happened, he always came out on top.
Right.
And we just kind of got sick of him. So, let's see, Necromancer says it was no different than any other Cena matches, and for him to win so definitively by submission against Henry seemed unnecessary. Can't argue with that.
Yeah, otherwise good match, and I totally agree with that sentiment there as well. I did think Henry tapped out really fast, which I thought was stupid. But
yes, on that second round, it was very fast.
I'm not sure what the whole plan was with this, though. I mean, was it just to put Cena over?
More, or big people hate him more, because congratulations, mission accomplished. I hate him more now.
Yeah, because I got to admit, Mark Henry actually got a pretty good crowd involvement there.
I think I posted in the chat room, it was I think it was a 70-30 split, man. Close to it. I mean,
yeah,
it wasn't your typical 40-60. It was 70-30. It was not very good for Cena at all. Let's see. Shane says he doesn't hate Cena, but he's kind of bored of him. He reminds him of 08-09 Triple H. No, because the 03-04 was Evolution time. And however, I did like Evolution, but after that broke up, I got tired of Triple H.
Yeah, and yeah, it's hard for me to really. There's a lot of eras of Triple H that I just kind of get sick of him. But the 2003-2004 was probably the most biggest time. I was the most tired of him.
Okay, can't really argue with that. But anyway, yeah, it was a good match, good back and forth match. We didn't really know what was going to happen, and of course, surprise, surprise, your winner, and still WWE champion.
You can see me.
You know what I think I hate most is when we have a big pay per view like this.
Yeah,
and no titles change hands.
Wow, you're right.
Well, this isn't really typically a big, big pay-per-view.
This is one of the... Well, it's a gimmick one. But typically, you would think a gimmick big... That one of their bigger gimmick pay-per-views like this... It would happen. So... You know. Let's see. Yeah, I have to agree with Necromancer. The crowd was certainly favored Henry, probably because of his character being so two-dimensional and predictable with the... Well, no, I don't agree with that. Never mind. I reread the whole damn thing. So anyway, John Cena still wins.
Yes.
My whole thought process behind where they were going with all this was is shot to hell now. I got no clue where they're going.
Yeah, I'm not sure where this goes, especially since Orton. Well, since the Money in the Bank winner was not who I thought it was going to be.
I think it was most. No, I don't think hardly anyone pictured that. Who's left for Cena to go against right now? I don't. Maybe they're going to try to stretch out the Mark Henry
after making him tap out like that. Why? What's the point?
I don't know. Oh dear God, another one. The Trish Stratus edition, yes.
Okay.
Complete with the fake titties.
We'll take that one.
Very nice.
The implant edition.
That would have the bill on the cover.
Oh, man. Anyway, so, yeah, I agree with Shane. Who does Cena go after now? Or who thinks they're... I got an idea.
Which idea?
Someone with an ironclad contract?
The Big Show?
I don't see that SummerSlam. I don't know what they're going to do. Like, I mean, I thought 100% sure that Daniel Bryan was going to win that damn title.
I think Daniel Bryan wins, like, a number one contendership thing in the next, like, in this week or next week. I think that'll be what ends up happening, because it would make sense for something like that to happen, because it's so definitively over with Mark Henry right now, because, see, well, I made him tap out, so there's no...
Yeah. You got lucky. It wasn't like you got a quick count or anything. You fucking tapped out. You're done.
I think it's going to be like a tournament thing of some kind, and you're going to see it probably come down to Sheamus versus Daniel Bryan. And then I think you're going to see it be Daniel Bryan winning.
You know, there is a guy we're forgetting about.
Who's that?
Okay, who?
They've got potentially some unfinished business from about 7 years ago.
Oh, you mean Mr. Money, or Mr. Rob Van Dam?
Yeah. Maybe Rob Van Dam and John Cena do something. I don't know. I don't know if that would be a bankable match for SummerSlam. If this were something like Unforgiven or No Way Out or something, I'd say yeah. But typically, SummerSlam is right behind WrestleMania, so they want this to look good. So I don't know. What the?
This is the Staring Into the Soul of a Man edition.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Okay.
But I don't know if that's bankable.
I think it ends up being, you're going to see it be most likely be Daniel Bryan winning a number one contendership match still. And going on to SummerSlam to fight Cena.
I think that could be doable, because they said for a few months they were kind of trying to go towards Daniel Bryan and John Cena headlining SummerSlam. So if that works, that's great. I'll take it. I would be happy with that.
Yeah, sounds like a good match. Why not?
He's super over. I mean, other than Rob Van Dam.
Dude, the crowd was behind him winning that match, man. Well, they were wanting it. Whenever him and Sheamus on top of that ladder.
Oh, who, Daniel Bryan? Or
Daniel Bryan and Sheamus.
Man, he's stupid over right now.
And I was surprised at how much the crowd was behind Ziggler.
Not me. Who are they going to cheer for Del Rio?
I just was surprised at how behind them they were, because typically they don't... It was Philadelphia, and typically they don't like people like Ziggler.
But Ziggler's the show-off.
That's true. But Philadelphia hated Shawn Michaels.
Philly's a smart wrestling town?
Maybe.
I mean, they're one of the best wrestling towns out there, so... Let's see, Shane says maybe Cena versus Sheamus. Possibly. That comes down to what we were saying before. Money, like I said, they're going to have a number one contenders match, and it could end up being those two. I could see maybe having a tournament on Raw, stretched out over the next few weeks. I don't know.
Yeah.
So. Fuck.
That leaves us with one match left, the main event of the night.
The WWE All-Star Money in the Bank ladder match. Say that five times fast.
Yes.
So you've got... Now, this is what pisses me off. You only had six guys in this match. It would have killed you to put a seventh guy in this match. If you're going to take Kane out...
Put in a seventh.
Put a seventh guy in, for fuck's sake.
I mean, it doesn't matter who. Just put in a seventh one.
Yeah. So they just completely take that seventh guy out. So it's only six guys. If you're going to take someone out of the match, take the one guy that really doesn't belong in that match out of the match.
Which is?
Christian. I'm a big fan of Captain Charisma, don't get me wrong. I don't think he should have been in that match.
I don't think he was out of place. I didn't think he had any shot of winning, but...
Well, neither the other guy that won, none of us thought he had a shot of winning either. But he still won.
Yes, yeah,
as far as who won, it just totally blew my mind. I was like, okay...
Just know what we know about the wellness policy and stuff like that, and him being on a third strike, I'm really surprised that he won.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we'll just have to take a look and see what happens down the road. I mean, anything can happen. It is
so
WWE.
We've got, in this match, Rob Van Dam, Randy Orton, CM Punk, Sheamus, Daniel Bryan.
And Christian.
RVD looked really good, by the way.
Yes, he did.
I was actually kind of shocked that he was in shape, and he looked like the Rob Van Dam.
And as far as their entrances coming out, biggest pops of the night, definitely RVD and Daniel Bryan being
and
the top two.
CM Punk
being right there.
Rob Van Dam, I think, was Rob Van Dam and CM Punk were tied. They were both insanely over.
Yes.
Daniel Bryan was a real, real, real close second. So it is what it is. We kind of knew this was going to be a hard match to call. We all knew this was going to be have the potential to be a great match. It didn't live up to the potential as good as it could have.
It was still a pretty good match. It was
probably one of the best main events of the year on pay-per-view.
Yeah, that's hard to argue with.
It's not better than Cena against Punk on Raw. That's still his match of the year for me, but it was better than Payback and better than Extreme Rules and better than Cena and Rock.
Yeah, when you start,
I don't know that it was better than
Punk Brock.
Yeah, from
the February pay per view.
Yeah, No Way Out or Elimination Chamber. Now,
that was okay. It's the second best main event of the year because I definitely didn't think that. We don't count the Royal Rumble as the main event, and it wasn't better than Punk Rock 1. Punk Rock 2 was a lot better.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
So,
I gotta agree with in the chat room. Yeah, Sheamus got no reaction.
Yeah,
the crowd was dead for Sheamus.
The crowd was all hyped up. Randy Orton, not Randy Orton. Daniel Bryan and Rob Van Dam, and you know, out comes the Great White Monster or whatever the Great White.
Yeah,
and then you chirp. It was the same thing with Orton too.
Yeah, the crowd was not into Orton at all.
Christian at least had a little bit better reaction than the other two.
Right.
But
Orton gets the win, surprisingly, still.
It was a good match.
The RVD, I mean, that splash looked weak off the top of that ladder.
We got to see the Rolling Thunder. What I liked about this one was... what I liked about this was you got the Rolling Thunder. Always a good move.
Right.
Yes.
On a ladder. The funniest part about the match, though, was at the beginning when the crowd was chanting RVD, RVD,
and everybody else, and everyone looks
at Rob Van Dam, and then he starts doing the Rob, and then the other five guys jump him. Kind of funny,
dude. How about that spot Sheamus took falling through that ladder? That looked bad on his knees.
And then, yeah, I agree. The five star or the tadpole, the fall off the ladder he did. Was not very good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how long has it been since he's been in the ring, though?
I can't remember when his TNA contract expired.
But it's been a while.
It's been at least 3 or 4 months.
But even still, though, I mean, he did fairly well for having been out of the ring for so long.
I'm going to be kind of interested to see what they do with him as far as... I know he's enhancement talent, if you will. But I don't know exactly what they're going to do with him as far as... how much he's going to be used and what they're going to do with him. You know?
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what the real plan there is.
And like you're saying, you know, with the wellness policy the way it is, unless they've got it set to where after so long you lose a strike, which I don't believe that is, he's on strike number 3. So if something happens and he gets busted...
Well, here's a question, though, and this is something we may not know about.
What?
Did he sign a new contract? Because a new contract would reset your strikes.
Does it really?
I think so.
I may have to read this wellness policy. I've been meaning to do it for a while.
Because remember how if you leave the company and then come back, you don't keep your strikes from when you were there before. Jeff Hardy had a strike from before and then had one strike when he came back. And then it was the same suspension as before.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I still think they hit a bag of pot in that briefcase, and they told Orton, hey, go up and get it. We forget
Dude,
all about it.
That would have been Rob's if that was the case.
Probably right. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if he signed a new contract or not, but here's the thing. When Rob was WWE champion and he got busted, they just had him drop the title. So they can always have him drop the title for no reason at all.
Oh, you mean the
when him and or if he wins the title.
Okay.
And when him and Sabu got busted, Rob lost both the ECW and the WWE Championship. Back-to-back night. So, you know, I don't agree with Shane. I don't think Orton needs to leave, but they got to do something with him. He's there. He's like Heath on this show. He's just kind of there.
I'm not exactly just there. Come on.
I wouldn't. Yeah. I think he's just. Who was talking? Do you know who was talking just now? Because I didn't hear who was talking.
Nope.
Okay.
So I guess we should get into. You
keep getting the respect around
maybe
here.
One of our favorites.
You have a vagina! You have a vagina!
That's why he's there. So we can hit that button on him all the time.
Oh, okay.
So Orton wins Money in the Bank.
And that wraps up our show.
And that wraps up the show. I'm kind of going to be excited for Raw tomorrow night. See what happens. Hopefully the Raw's going to be good. So, shit. We don't have a Raw preview ready for tonight?
No, we don't. I figure, you know, whatever.
Good enough. All right, so you guys ready to jump into some more stuff here? Some fun stuff?
Yeah, what do we got?
One of our favorite segments?
All right.
It is time for your weekly dose of What Stinks.
Yes.
For those of you that don't know how this works, and we got 10 of you guys in the chat room right now, probably a lot of you guys don't know how this works. We just air out what we didn't like about the week in wrestling. Usually, it has something to do with this past week. I think tonight's a Money in the Bank edition of it.
Yes.
So, Heath, go for it.
All right. Well, as far as my what stinks, on the Del Rio Ziggler match, I mean, AJ coming out, not really interfering for the most part, but yet at the same time, yeah, it was just enough distraction that it's like, okay, when I seen her come out, it's like, fuck, Ziggler's going to lose now. There was no way he was going to win.
Yeah.
And it just really stunk. I was really thinking that, and I think a lot of other people thought the same thing, that Ziggler was going to win the match.
She comes out, and you knew it was not if he was going to lose, it was how he was going to lose at that point.
Yeah.
And I agree with you 100% on that. As soon as we heard that music, we're like, Ziggler's losing. I don't know how it's going to happen, but he's losing.
Yes. Same thing here. I mean, I didn't like it either. I mean, one of the most critical things that happened for me is because that really kind of ruined how you knew things were going to go.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I think it would have thrown us for a loop more if Big E would have come out instead. Because then we wouldn't have known as much. Because he's on the fence. He can go either way. But when AJ came out, you knew that Ziggler was getting screwed. And not in a good way.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I mean, even the crowd admitted it. You know, because, you know, after the match, Ziggler leaves the ring and AJ's still left in the ring. Biggest chant at that point. You screwed Ziggler.
Yeah. So you got one, or is that was? Are you agreeing with him? Is that your what stinks?
No, it's not mine. Let's see. My what stinks is gonna be the fact that, man, why are they wasting Big E away here, man? All right, and that's part of it. Big E wasting away, not really doing anything but being AJ's lackey now. I mean, that seems. And B, my other thing is. Man, it would have been so much nicer if they had let Mark Henry win. Cena beating Henry just totally left a bad taste in my mouth for the rest of the pay-per-view.
I can't argue. Hey, we got a special fan edition of What Stinks here. Shane, the TWR. His What Stinks. Hold on, we're going to do this right. His What Stinks is Wade Barrett jobbing every week. I
actually like Wade Barrett, so I can agree with it too.
He's just boring.
I don't think he's even that boring. They just don't do anything with him.
They give him a new theme every 6 months or so.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that.
They repackage him. I think he's had more themes than anyone else on the active roster right now. Hey, if anyone else has any what things they would like to say in the chat, go ahead and throw it out there. We'll come back to this here in a second.
You know what? I got a plan for Wade Barrett. Actually, I'm going to use that for my Can You Dig It?
Okay. So here's my what stinks.
Okay.
Traditionally, and they've been hyping this tonight as the show progressed, mainly after the World Heavyweight Money in the Bank match. They were saying, is he going to cash it in tonight? They were talking about previous superstars that had cashed it in that night, and so on and so forth. So then we were like, awesome. This could happen because they're hyping it. And then you get the WWE title match before the All-Star Money in the Bank ladder match, which guarantees that the Money in the Bank, the WWE Money in the Bank ladder match or contract was not getting used tonight. Why? You want to put fucking Cena in every other goddamn main event he's on any other fucking pay-per-view he's on? Give him this one, too. Let him main event it. Let someone cash in and fuck him.
Yeah. But guess what? Didn't happen.
I just... Ah, God.
Okay. We got a what stings from Necromancer, too. Who is what stings is the stupid commentary comments from Cole and King at times. And yeah, there were some bad ones.
There was some bad ones,
I can't remember what the biggest... There was one that we caught all three of us for a loop, but I can't remember what the fuck it was. Oh, talking about Rod Van Dam's debut. When he debuted in 1996 in the ECW arena. When he was actually Robbie V in WCW.
Yes.
So,
I mean, then there were some other things, just some of them were really bad jokes they were making.
And, of course, you had JBL, you know, we fight on Friday night. Really, JBL? You still think there's a difference between Raw and SmackDown?
Yeah.
You still think you're on the better show?
Right.
You call for both. Shut up. All right. You guys got anything else you want to add for your what stinks?
Not anything else to really add here. That said, one other comment Necro had about the pay-per-view is his big takeaway from the pay-per-view overall was is how they booked Cody Rhodes, even though Sandow won. Cody was booked looking really strong with lots of momentum and great moments, and it could lead to him getting a future push, which I hope is actually true at this point, because Cody's ready to go to the next level.
I liked him when he was in Legacy, actually.
I didn't.
You didn't like Cody Rhodes in Legacy?
You know I didn't like Cody Rhodes then.
You liked him as dashing Cody Rhodes.
He was entertaining then. I liked the mustache too.
I think I agree that he is ready to move on. I don't think he's ready to main event anything yet. But I think he should definitely be promoted from tag team division to probably upper mid card status. I think after the showing he had last night and the fact that he was the crowd was on his side.
I'd like to see Cody get a good US title or Intercontinental title run.
I was going
to say, I would like to see
Intercontinental at the very least.
I would like to see that too. However, the Intercontinental title doesn't mean shit anymore.
That's true. They gave it to Curtis Axel, so anybody can win.
Well, no, it's that's nice job at Curtis Axel, but when you were the Intercontinental champion back in the day in the 80s and 90s, you were pegged to be the future world champion.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. And
in some aspects, the Intercontinental title was more important than the world title because it was giving you that next level push.
Yes.
To see if you did well, boom, you were going to be world champion. If you did terrible, you kind of went away.
Exactly.
Now anyone wins the Intercontinental title, and the U.S. title is a joke, too. It is what it is.
I mean, even the tag team titles seem to be a joke, considering they're the pre-show.
No, they just didn't. They had their head too far up their ass for the booking. Yeah. But, I mean, here's... Let's look at this way. Cody Rhodes lost the match on the pay-per-view, right?
Yes.
He should get a world title shot tomorrow night on Monday Night Raw. It happens for Ryback. He loses. He gets to make his own matches. Why can't Cody do it? He's got a better-looking mustache.
That's true.
Because he mustache us the question. All right. Well, you're right. Yes, Wade Barrett was a former Intercontinental champ, and now look at him. He's a joke.
Yeah, very true.
All right. I think we're going to move on to our next favorite segment.
Sucker!
It's time for your weekly dose of Can You Dig It?
All right.
Sucker. So how this one works, this is just our pipe dreams. We just throw out something, see if it sticks or not. Why not? You know?
Yeah.
So, Adrian, I'll let you go first.
Can You Dig It? We will see the Brothers of Destruction versus the Wyatt family at SummerSlam.
I don't see anything better for either group, so I can dig that.
It'd be a really good way to get the Wyatts good and strong over. I mean, that's for sure.
Yeah, I can agree.
Because, I mean, after all, you know, it's not WrestleMania, so Undertaker doesn't have to win.
Right. So. I don't see them losing the... I don't see the Brothers of Destruction really losing, but it could be one hell of a way to... at least put the Wyatts over and make it a good, brutal match and just not have the Rose of Destruction completely annihilate them.
Yeah, true.
So So.
But yeah, I can definitely dig that as well. I mean, they've already got it kind of set up in a way. I mean, but not totally, because, I mean, let's face it, it was only just Kane that they beat up on. But yes, it does kind of set up if Undertaker decides to come out on it.
Yeah, I definitely can dig this as well. I think this is, makes more sense now than the Shield versus Brothers of Destruction at this point.
Yeah.
With the way that they took him out on
SmackDown.
With SmackDown or Raw last week.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Undertaker.
No, no. With the way that the Wyatt family took out Kane on Raw last week and took him out of this match, I could see Kane looking for some payback immediately, and that would be the go-to.
This would be the
one. All right. Heath, you're up.
All right. Can you dig it? In regards to, of course, AJ causing Ziggler to lose the match, I'm not sure exactly when, but we might see them two break up, and the guy she winds up with actually is Biggie Langston.
I kind of think that's a given.
That's kind of what's happening already right now, but sure, yeah, I'll dig it.
Okay.
But I mean, it fully come out, you know, as in storyline saying, yep, they are together.
I could kind of see.
As a couple.
All right, yeah, maybe.
As a couple.
All right. This one. That's a weak one, man. That's weak. You could have come up with something, but you had all night to come up with this, and that's the best you could do?
We got to go in from the chat.
Okay.
Necromancer goes, can you dig Shane McMahon returning because of the recent power-hungry struggle within the McMahon storyline? He also recently resigned from his CEO position at the Yuan Company, or whatever it's called, so he is free to come back to the WWE.
Ooh.
So can you dig a Shane O'Mac return to get involved in the McMahon power play struggle?
Oh, wow.
Ooh, man.
Jeez, good job on that one, Necromancer.
I can dig it to an extent, because the reason Shane McMahon left was because it became apparent that he was not going to inherit the company, and it was Stephanie and Triple H's. However, it is possible he could come back. Maybe they wanted to work with Shane and it be their company and not just Stephanie and Triple H. Maybe Shane wants to wrestle again.
I think I can dig this as well. That would be really cool. I would hope to see it happen. I think it could happen. So, yeah, I will dig it as well. Necromancer, I like it.
Good call.
Definitely bring Channel Mac back.
Could you imagine then dealing with Brad Maddox having to deal with Vince, Shane, Stephanie, and Triple H?
I think it'd be
and
funny you thought Vicky was still around just to laugh at him. That'd be great.
All right. Here's my can you dig it. Tomorrow night on Raw, Vicky Guerrero will be on Raw as Ryback's new manager.
Yeah, I think I can dig
maybe
that.
Maybe not tomorrow night, but in the future, in the very near future.
I think, yeah, I can dig that. Even tomorrow night, yeah, sure. Why not?
He needs a mouthpiece. He has to have a mouthpiece.
I think it would help him out more than it would hurt him at this point.
One more for you. I got a two-parter.
Oh, okay.
Well, what, can you dig your own there?
Oh, yeah. He needs a mouthpiece. Okay. My second one here is, can you dig this? And I'm just playing devil's advocate here. A briefcase gets cashed in tomorrow night.
That I cannot dig.
No?
No.
It's too early. I mean, if anything was going to be cashed in, it would have probably been cashed in tonight, but of course, matches didn't go.
Orton is going to wait until like something like horrendous happens, somebody like in a Hell in a Cell match.
The Apex Predator is going to strike.
Yeah.
Okay, do you think we will get an
announcement? And I don't think Sandow is going to cash in tomorrow night yet either.
No.
Do you think we'll get an announcement that one of them intends to cash in at SummerSlam? Do you think either one of them are dumb enough to call their shot?
I can see Orton doing it more so than Sandow.
Because we've had it happen twice in recent history. We had Rob Van Dam do it at One Night Stand, and he succeeded. And we had Cena do it last year. Cena won the match, but didn't win the title. Do you think the odds are against anyone that calls it out? So, do you think we'll make it? Either one will be dumb enough to call their shot.
I could see Orton possibly doing it, but it's unlikely, and I don't see Sandow doing that at all.
No, Sandow's too quote unquote a smart of a wrestler to, you know, to do something like that.
All right. I can't say I blame you on that one. Hey, we forgot something, fellas.
Uh-oh, what did we forget?
We got a bet we got to cover. We got to make good on.
Ah, yes.
So for those of you not familiar with this, it's kind of like the slap bet that Michael Glazik and Jason Massey had together.
Yes.
But we don't like to get physical like that.
We're not smacking the shit out of each other. And we're not kissing anyone either.
Nope.
But what we did, same points applied. And we ended up going the Raw after WrestleMania through tonight. And it was close. Going into this past week, it was close. Real close.
But
I haven't scored up SmackDown. I haven't scored this pay-per-view. But going into the night, or going into the end of Raw, you were up by 6 points, and I know I didn't make those 6 points up after SmackDown, and I know I didn't make them up tonight.
I beat you 10 to negative one on SmackDown.
Yeah. And then I had 23 points tonight.
I don't think you had that many, man.
Oh, no, because I had negatives. Let's see. Sheamus was minus three.
Orton was plus three, but Christian was minus three.
And then I had Del Rio retain, and I had Axel retain.
But I had the Shield retain.
Yeah. You had Ziggler lose. Minus five. Ryback.
One.
CM Punk lost. I still don't think I beat you. So, congratulations, Adrian. You won the bet.
Thank you. Thank you. 2-0. 2-0.
So, do we want to draft?
I don't think we want to tonight.
Okay. We'll start
next week,
and then we'll figure out what we're going to bet on. Because this one was the winner got
WrestleMania
on Blu-ray.
Yeah, that's me.
So, congratulations. It's in the mail eventually.
Yes, thank you.
What the hell is I going to get to? Oh, did you guys hear about the big reveal for WWE 2K14?
What's that?
The Ultimate Warrior is going to be in it.
That's really kinda cool.
He's going to be a playable character in it. Now, THQ's been dropped. Or not THQ. Help me out here.
EA Sports?
No, it's not EA.
It's 2K Sports.
Yes, 2K Sports has been releasing bits and pieces of who this mystery guy is going to be all week. They were wrong on one of them. Because they said this guy has never appeared in a WWE video game before.
Yeah, he was in the WWE All-Stars game, wasn't he?
Yeah, the one that came out not too long ago, those the arcade game, arcade style.
Yeah.
Had like Andre and Hogan and all that in it.
I think he was in that. And
I think it was. So they were wrong. But Ultimate Warrior is going to be in the WWE 2K14. Kind of cool.
Yeah, kind of cool.
I'll take it. Has anyone checked the forum, see if we got any questions? I know we got one from Necromancer here. Let's pull this up real quick and just see what we got.
Ooh, going to the forums.
All right, be quick on the forum button. There we go. Sorry, just a second, fellas.
No, we don't have anything new.
Okay, nothing new. So we got to do one question in the chat room from Necromancer. He says, how do you guys think the Wyatt family will be utilized, and who will be the first from the feud with? And have you guys seen Leo Kruger on NXT? For some reason, I like him, and there's something about him. We'll make the second answer real quick.
I haven't
watched NXT.
I can say I actually have seen a couple NXTs with him on. He's actually not bad. He's pretty cool. Kind of a weird. His gimmick there almost reminds me of Skinner. If I'm thinking about the right guy, and I'm not real familiar with NXT, so Necromancer, if I'm thinking of the wrong guy, I'm sorry. But I mean, the way that his gimmick is, it kind of reminds me a little bit of Skinner.
Okay.
But he's better.
Okay. Let's see. And how do you... Well, we think the Wyatt family...
I think I covered this one already, though, in my Can You Dig It? I think it's going to be the Brothers of Destruction.
That's who they're going to feud with first. They may not come out victorious, but they're going to definitely...
Oh, I think they're going to come out victorious.
You think so?
Oh, absolutely. They need it to get over.
All right. Possibly. I'm not 100% sold. Again, we talked about this during the pre-show. I don't see it in the Wyatt family. I don't get it. It's Husky Harris
and
a couple
weeks.
Other guys. I don't get it. I wasn't a big fan of
fans on Raw last week.
Huh?
You're worse than those fans on Raw last week.
I thought you were going to use that for What Stinks as well.
I was, but since we were mainly keeping money in the bank on this.
Oh, okay. I mean, I just was not a big fan of Husky Harris when he was on the main roster before, and I don't really see a big change. It's Husky Harris. He just has long hair. You know? So, anyway.
Shane TWR here says, looking at the WWE roster, who can you see being cut?
Oh, God. There's so many options here.
How about
Santino?
JTG?
Yeah? Any of the three-man band?
Oh, gosh, that reminds me. I forgot that was going to be a Can You Dig It?
What?
Okay, hold on. Can You Dig It Part 2?
Can you dig it, sucker?
That's right. But Wade Barrett becomes the first British member, and it becomes the four-man band.
Yeah. I started up the music for that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Or he replaces Jinder Mahal.
Jinder Mahal gets fired. He gets future endeavored. God. Ooh. Ooh, they're not doing anything with Barrett, but I don't think they would delegate him to that. That's just gross. That's horrible to think
then they could be like the Beatles. Because he could use the British accent. He could be like John Lennon.
I think it needs to be played.
Yeah, you can hit me with it now. I'm good.
Anyway, future Endeavor clubs. Wow. I think you're right with JTG.
Jinder Mahal.
Jinder Mahal could go. Oh, Barrett could even go, to be honest with you, as horrible as they're doing with them. Who else?
R-Truth.
R-Truth could be future Endeavored. Rey Mysterio.
I don't think Rey Mysterio. I think they just need to make the announcement that he's retired.
You're right. Hey, pull up the roster real quick. Let's look. WWE.com. All right. Just go to Superstars. All right. So.
Ascana, maybe.
Alex Riley. Alicia Fox, definitely. Either one of them.
Let's see here.
Camacho?
He's an NXT guy.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Kurt Hawkins is still.
David Otunga.
Yeah. Well, Otunga can be funny.
Evan Bourne?
Ezekiel Jackson still on the
Ezekiel
roster?
Jackson.
Jesus Christ. Hunico?
Hunico.
God, where are half these? Justin Gabriel's on there. He could go. There's just so many people that aren't utilized that they could just get.
Primo.
Primo and Epco could go. I don't want Rosa to go, though.
Ted DiBiase can go.
Yeah. The primetime players, no.
I don't want them to go, but I guess they could be. Tyson Kidd, possibly.
Yoshi Tatsu can go.
Yoshi Tatsu, yeah. Zack Ryder at this point, I think, could be at this point.
So there's a whole... The problem is they don't have anyone up and ready to go.
Sankara fuck right off.
Yes, I hate Sankara. Him and his stripper lighting. I don't understand.
I hate that lighting.
I don't understand why he gets his own special lighting.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. And the lighting combination of the colors, it's like, God, can you even see Sankara?
Necromancer says you can't cut too many jobbers, those you need them for squash matches and house shows to wrestle when the big names can't. We're not saying they should fire all, but all those guys are on the bubble.
You can pick any four or five of those guys and cut them.
Yes, I think so. And I think Alicia Fox and Oksana, I don't think we would even care. So that could be two of them right there.
True.
Get rid of, Yoshi Tatsu and Ted DiBiase. There you go. And I like Ted DiBiase at one point.
Yeah.
I don't get the stripper lighting. I mean, you're not very good. You botched your entrance so many times to begin with when you first showed up. You know, I don't get it. So, you guys got anything else?
You know, not really, man.
We've been doing this,
I think we beat this to death on the post show.
Hour and 20 minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we're done for the night, fellas.
Yep. As far as Raw preview, guys,
just go ahead and watch it tomorrow night.
Yes.
See the fallout from Money in the Bank live on Raw tomorrow night at 7 Eastern, 6 or 8 Eastern, 7 Central.
So, I think we do have to do some plugs, though.
Yeah.
The anal plugs.
If you like listening to this show, you can listen to it again tomorrow night at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central.
And And then the Monday after that, we'll have a new show. We have a weekly show up every week.
We do a pre-roll show usually.
We normally record at this time tonight, but since we figured we would do the post show, we would go and do a live episode of the Hour Bomb.
Yes.
So we're not live every week. No. But not this one, not tomorrow, but the Monday after, we'll be back with you with a new show for you. Hey, thanks, Shane. We like you, too.
Thanks, buddy. Shane.
All right, so on Tuesday nights, hey, did you know that we were the number two show on the TWR Network last week?
That's right, because there was only two shows on the TWR Network last week.
Hey, did you also know who? Did either one of you notice who the TWR Fan of the Week was?
Ooh. I think it was some guy named Jason Douchebag Halbert.
Oh, fuck you. This guy. I was the TWR Fan of the Week. I don't know what that gets me.
I think it gets you a middle finger from me right here. Bam.
You're an asshole. So anyway, Tuesday nights, what can they do on Tuesday nights?
Well, Tuesday nights, you can listen to my personal favorite show on the TWR Network,
and that's
the FTW Podcast.
Fuck the world.
No, it's Friends Talk Wrestling.
Oh, shit.
You can
join one of these weeks, it's going to be Fuck the World Wrestling.
It could be Garvin, Lee, Joe, Harrison. There's like seven or eight different guys it could actually be at this point. I don't know the rest of their names. There was like three guys on last week that aren't on their list of normal shows, so... It can be, it's usually Garvin and Joe, and usually, like, one of the other regulars, and then maybe one or two other guys.
Okay, so it's just kind of a round table of, hey, who's available tonight?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Gotcha.
So that's Tuesday.
Hey, they do a very good topic-based show about a lot of topics in wrestling. I'm sure they're going to have a much more in-depth post-Money in the Bank analysis than we did. Plus, they'll cover Raw and TNA from this week, too.
And then, so
they usually, much like us, skip SmackDown.
I want to throw a special thank you out to Garvin, actually, because without him helping me out there tonight, we wouldn't be able to do this tonight. So, Garvin, a big thank you to you on that one.
Yes,
we appreciate
you, Garvin.
It. So I went to sleep Tuesday night, and I woke up Wednesday. Oh, God, I need some wrestling. What do I do Wednesday nights?
In all seriousness, I poked fun at it earlier, but seriously, I do hope Wednesday that we have Shooting from the Hip back again. Hopefully, Dan has recovered. Seriously, if you haven't, get well soon, brother.
Yes, Dan, please get well soon. We miss you, buddy.
But Shooting from the Hip will be on the air at 8 p.m. 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central.
Correct. Join
the original Dan Phelps.
Not the imitation.
Yes, not the leopard Dan Phelps, no.
Oh.
No, the original Dan Phelps. Michael Classic and Sean Big Daddy kicking my ass in the Prediction League Brown.
Hey, that's right, you lost him. How many points did you lose to him by?
I think like two.
Oh, that sucks. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yes. If I had predicted no instead of yes on the Money in the Bank rematch, I would have won.
Okay. So anyway, Wednesday night, Shooting from the Hip. What kind of show do they do?
They do a great show. It's usually very topic-based. They have the current affair thing. They do a little bit of recapping. They take questions. Sometimes they take questions.
And then sometimes Sean Brown actually has his shit together and does fact or bullshit.
Yes, sometimes he does.
So, yeah.
And usually you get one long-winded discussion topic where it's about Ring of Honor that loses 20 listeners. But
yeah. Hey, we've only lost like half of our listeners. But it is almost midnight, so I'll take it.
Yeah.
All right. And so Thursdays. What are we going on Thursdays?
Dan might need a pillow and a Bible.
Oh, God. So Thursdays. What do we got Thursdays?
Get him that Chris Benoit dish in a SmackDown. That'll be fine.
God. Jeez. Holy shit. Come on. Let's finish this out.
The views of Adrian do not necessarily
Thursday night,
the views of my own.
You can listen to the TNT Wrestling Power Hour with Tom and Tyler. Join them as they go over this week in NXT, and usually a bunch of other crap.
Bunch of other crap.
They do a lot of random shit.
Okay, that's good.
They talk about video games and all kinds of stuff on their show, but then they cover NXT. All
right. And I think we're going to have some random stuff coming up sometime soon. I got no clue what we're...
Thursdays or Friday nights is open. If you'd like to apply, get in contact with the Jason the Bar Massey, and he will help you.
Go to TWRnetwork.com and go up top and click apply to TWR.
Yes.
If we like you, you can get on there, kind of like we did.
Yes.
It does happen, I promise.
You will not end up on the Massey casting couch.
I hope not. God, that's scary.
It is, isn't it?
Apparently him and Michael, never mind. Anyway, and we got some articles.
Yes, you can check out articles each and every week by some of our great writers. I think half of them are on vacation right now. There's the highlight reel with Jer Berghoff, How the Cookie Crumbles with Brian Cookie Cook. Usually
Wrestle with Jake. Shooting Shoots with Omar Kamal.
And then there's also the headline with Kyle Robinson.
And then the Weekly Zeus.
Weekly Zeus, which is on hiatus at the moment.
And we've got the hardest working man on CWR Network.
Paul Jordan. Writing all of your show recaps, show reviews.
Yeah. Usually takes care of the news.
And anything else that gets posted on the TWR website is Paul Jordan.
Number one fan of the TWR.
Yeah, we salute
you,
Paul Jordan.
Yes. Thanks, Paul.
We salute you.
And we do. Not Adrian.
Yeah.
Don't let your pants salute him. How many times do I got to tell you this?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I can't help it.
All right. Back to this. So, hey, Adrian. If someone doesn't like something that we had to say, what do they do?
Go fuck themselves.
And once again, the views of Adrian Masters don't necessarily represent those of the Hour Bomb or the TWR Network.
Seriously, if you have some problem with something we said or just want to contact us, you can message us on the forums at twrnetwork.com or you can send us an email at thehourbomb@gmail.com.
What was that?
Thehourbomb@gmail.com.
And you can also find us on Facebook. Go ahead and hit that little like button.
Mm-hmm.
You can find us on iTunes. Go ahead and hit that subscribe button. And for the love of fucking God, will someone please goddamn review our fucking show? Please.
Yeah, how many reviews do we have at the moment?
Three. One from me, one from Adrian's girlfriend, and one from, I believe, Mr. Richard 269.
Yes.
We've been on the air for 6 months.
Almost, yeah.
Almost, and we've gotten three reviews.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll take it.
Yeah. They're all 5 stars. So I'd rather have 3 5-stars than a 5-star and some 1-star. So I'll take them.
True.
But
yes, we do like the reviews. Please.
So, hey, Adrian.
Yes.
We fucked up.
What did we fuck up?
What's your song for the week? Since you won the prediction, the league.
You know what? I feel like we should take Cena back to 2004, 2005.
Really? We're going to go some old school Cena?
Yes.
All right.
Basic Thuganomics, if you will.
Wow.
I guess I can do that.
Anyway, Shane, Necromancer.
Big thanks to everyone that, listened to us tonight. We had a lot of fun doing this live.
Other Mark, I know you're having some chat issues, so hopefully you get that worked out, man. Glitterfist, thanks for staying as long as you could. Grumpy, I know you probably went to bed too, but we appreciate having you here as well.
And we have a chance to actually thank our listeners, each and every week, thank you very much. Without you guys.
Tom Foolery, who says he listens every week at work and on TuneIn, so thank you, sir, as well.
Yes, a big thank you to just everyone, because without you guys, we would just be doing this for no real reason. So, it's okay. And with that, I think we're done. Unless you guys got anything else you want to
throw
out
there.
I'm
ready to quit this bitch, man.
Okay. So, once again, I am your host, the illustrious Jason Halpert. Saying adios.
The big A, Adrian Masters, quits this bitch.
And the Jizzmopper.
Sweet Heath, Jason Heath, saying so long.
And we're going to try to do this again next week. So until then, you've been our bond.
Toodles.
So, you think you're untouchable?
Word life, this is basic thuganomics. This is basic thuganomics. Word life, I'm untouchable, but I'm forcing you to feel me. Word life, this is basic thuganomics. Word life, I'm untouchable, but I'm forcing you to feel me.
Whether fighting or spitting, my discipline is unforgiving. Got you backing up in a defensive position. An ass-kicking anthem, heavyweight or bantam. Holding camp for ransom, the microphone phantom. Teams hit the floor, it's the new fight joint. Like a broken needle, kid, you missing the point. We dominate your conference with offense that's no nonsense. My theme song hits, get your reinforcements. We strike quick with hard kicks, ducking ice sticks, bare knuckle mitts through fight pits. Beat you lifeless, never survive this. Get forgot like all timers. Two-faced rappers walk away with 4 shiners. The raw rhymer, turning legends to old-timers. My incisors like a viper biting through your one-liners. New Dead Man Inc., and we about to make you famous. Taking over Earth and still kicking in Uranus.
Word life, this is basic thuganomics. This is basic thuganomics. Word life, I'm untouchable, but I'm forcing you to feel me. Word life, this is basic thuganomics. Word life, I'm untouchable.
untouchable, but I'm forced to.
You ain't advancing up the process. Potential phonetical concepts or objects are foreign, like block tests, fonts and text are complex. Regardless of your finesse or your fitness, it's a condition of business. Your lame vision of an underground physical image underneath to undermine your whole typical image with the precision of percentages and the collision of sentences. Poetry beats your mics. We untouchable like righteous sluts with no crevices. Streets unite. We rock brighter with dumber beats. Your cats couldn't come this hot and it urged off in the summer heat. Forget two takes. Kill your birds the first time. Your best hit ain't worthy of my filler or worse rhymes. I'm better than nice. Check the veteran stripes. Leave you beside yourself with fear. I'll kill you, bury you twice. Despite the cover of night, tracking your flight like guerrilla warfare. Where the grass is dense, approaching me is a quick way to get referred to in the past tense. Dead that. When the light, the mic is on. The crowd is dead like an intermission when you on a tight
word life. This is basic thugonomics. This is basic thugonomics. Word life. I'm untouchable, but I'm forcing you to feel me. Word life.
This is basic thugonomics.
Word life. I'm untouchable, but I'm forcing you to feel me.